Blog Talk Radio.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes. Y'all remember that? Come on, D.O.B. and D.O.I. Say, Lord, I really...
conjunction with Past Generation Lost in the Mix, affected by sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders from the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founder and pastor is District Superintendent Pastor Robert I. Sanders II, and he is co-hosting with me on tonight, so we are co-hosting together, and we thank God for you all on tonight. I know you all are like, wait a minute, you're in the morning, yet night. I'm versatile. So if something comes up and I need to really talk about it because it's in my spirit, you know, I don't move on unctions, but I'm moving in another direction where you can be able to talk about some things that we need to be talking about on this evening. Amen. Many of you I've seen on Facebook made a whole lot of comments and thumbs up. Has the church made it hard for people to tell the truth? My dear friend, who I would keep her name quiet, we were having a discussion about this, and we both were sharing each other's experience on how we are really involved as pastors' wives and district superintendents' wives. And her husband got elevated to another higher position. But yet still in all, we see a whole lot. Many of you have heard my testimony, and I don't mind sharing with many of you who have never heard it, but you have seen on the YouTube channel, Chronicles Journey of Women, where I spoke about how I began to see things growing up as a young person, the only child in my family. And literally, while all my other cousins had siblings, I was the only one that didn't. So many of them, you know, they talked about me, oh, she's spoiled and all that. And as I always say, let me set the record straight and give me the opportunity to tell my side of the story since you know it so well. I didn't ask for things. I didn't ask to have, we had no service and butlers and maids and cooks and chauffeurs and all that. You know, my parents, they worked, but they had problems. Addictive behavior problems and substance abuse. So three of them basically had problems, although they went to work every day. But the problem that I've always seen was that nobody wanted to face the truth. My aunt, my late auntie, always talked about dealing with the real issues and talking about what is really going on and not hiding stuff. And a lot of times in the church, when I was growing up, and my aunt passed away when I was 16 years old, I needed to talk to somebody. And I never got the opportunity to talk to anybody because I've been pissed on so bad by family, and then the church folks jumped on the bandwagon with them, not knowing the type of collateral damage that they had done. And I've known a lot of people that literally had problems, and they wanted to talk to somebody. I ran to the church to get away from home, so I can be in God's presence and thinking that I was around loving people, only to find out I wasn't, you know. And then when I started speaking out of what I thought it was wrong, people were telling me I'm losing my mind. And then I would come to church because, you know, the young adults that were like in their 20s or 30s would say some of the most evil, nastiest things to me. And I ended up taking a knife with me in the church. Now, there's a problem when you take a knife from God's house. There's a problem because you should never come to church with a weapon, a gun, a knife, a baseball bat, a 2x4, a razor, whatever it is. You should not come to church already equipped to want to hurt somebody because somebody's supposed to be saved is not being saved. They're acting and have taken on the attitude of a sinner, but they get behind the microphone and want to preach, teach, sing, fall out, shout, oh, Lord, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, and that's what they do. So I look at you as what you've done and what you did. And the thing about it, that never left my memory. But God helped me to understand, to be truthful, forgive, and accept that everybody is not going to be right. So on tonight, earlier this evening, my girlfriend and I, you know, my sister and I, we were talking about this. Because for some reason, when we go to each other to share our stories or to share the pain, we want to tell the truth. You know, I was sharing with her, you know, we had a banquet, and I said, what is this thing that members of the church got to go snitch and tell on the pastor's wife? Like the pastor will come in the bathroom and whoop somebody. Why don't you just be truthful and say what you got to say and open up what you need to say? You need to, you know, be honest with what you're trying to say, but not to go and start confusion over something that's as minute as a toilet paper or bubble gum or whatever. But we in the church, we don't tell the truth. We don't tell the truth. And what I can't understand is, why is it that we go to church, whether it's weekly service, whether it's Sunday service, whether it's meetings, conferences, convocations, but we will not tell the truth? You sit up in church and you hate one another. You sit up in church and you despise your family. You disrespect your family. I'm saying it right here in front of my husband, so he'll know. So ain't nobody got to go and tell him what I said. He's sitting right here. I haven't liked how his biological family have treated him. I have not liked how his siblings have dogged him. I have not liked how the siblings and other people have taught the children to disrespect him. But then don't nobody want to hear the truth. So when you don't want to hear the truth, why are you saying you love God? Why are you saying that you say? Okay, hold on, because I want to get past the end on this. You know, I get motivated because I get tired of seeing the stupid stuff. So now, let's look at what the word truth means. Veracity, truthfulness, verity, sincerity, candor, honesty, accuracy, correctness, validity, factuality, authenticity. He had to accept the truth of her accusation. He doubted the truth of her statement. That is, which is true in accordance to with fact or reality. It's used as a noun, to tell me the truth. It's used as a synonym in different ways. What actually happened, the case. Reality, real life, actuality. Why do you think you see reality star shows? Some of them are scripted, some of them are not. But somehow or another, we don't want to tell the truth. We don't want to be honest. We sit back tight-lipped, tight-tongued, and we don't want to even talk about things that should be addressed. What is truth? One of the most profound and eternally significant questions in the Bible was posed by an unbeliever named Pilate, the man who handed Jesus over to be crucified, turned to Jesus in his final hour and asked, "What is truth?" It was a rhetorical question, a cynical response to what Jesus had just revealed. I have come into the world to testify the truth. Why do we sit in the church and we watch our young babies, children, get molested or by our leaders in the church, by anybody in the church? Why is it that adultery takes a stronghold in the church, but we don't want to tell the truth? we still want to cover up adultery as if it can be rectified. No, because adultery destroys a family. It destroys the children. It destroys the relationship. It destroys the relationship you even have with God. Am I right, Pastor?
Amen.
And the thing about it is that we don't want to tell the truth. Now, 2,000 years later, the whole world breathes polycynicism. Some say truth is power play. Some say meta-narrative constructed by the elite for the purpose of controlling the ignorant masses. To some, the truth is subjective, the individual world of preference and opinion. Others believe truth is a collective judgment, the product of cultural consciousness, and still others flatly deny the concept of truth altogether. So what is truth? Why is it that when you go into the bank and a robber's in there with a gun and he goes up to the teller and says, hand it over, will you tell the truth on that? Will you tell the police the truth on that? Or will you do like Fran Fine did, sit there and have some pizza and a salad and some he had to go to jail because he was robbing the people. But if we see a married man with another man's wife that have no business being together, we don't want to say it's true. But you see it with your eyeballs. But don't say nothing. Why? Isn't that the truth? What you think, honey?
Well, you'd ask a question about what is truth.
What is truth?
And just to piggyback on that, honesty is truthfulness. And an honest person has the habit of making accurate statements.
What is honesty?
trustworthy statements about themselves.
I'm just saying.
About others. Like you just said, if you see somebody out hoe hopping or whatever, and God.
Okay.
An honest person will represent themselves just as they are.
Uh-huh.
And will tell others the truth about themselves.
No, they won't. You're judging me.
Now, but see, honesty is not just expressing everything that comes through your mind. That's called being transparent.
Right, transparent. Mm-hmm.
But a person can be honest without being transparent. However, no one can be consistently honest without a commitment to the truth. Now, sometimes being honest is going to hurt somebody's feelings.
No, it won't.
But that doesn't mean that dishonesty is preferable. We know that to be dishonest is reproved in the scripture. So dishonesty is definitely God doesn't like it.
Then why is it that you have a bunch of leaders that get up over the pulpit on television or wherever they may be, and they'll say, don't judge nobody. But my thing is, if you see somebody in a restaurant with another man's wife or another woman's husband, and they have no business in each other's company, it ain't like they're related or whatnot, and if you're counseling, you shouldn't be counseling by yourself one-to-one without having the other person there. So my thing is, if a man is out at the mall, at the restaurant with somebody else's wife, and you see it with your buck-naked eyeballs, with all your pupils and all your, I mean, all of it, why is it that when you see it, it's the truth, and then when you speak it, it's the truth, then people will say you're judging? What I don't understand is, why do people in the church don't want to accept the truth? Why do they want to hide behind the truth? Why do they want to play with the truth? Why do they want to act like the truth doesn't exist? It's like, you see what you don't see. I've heard that so many times. I'm sick of hearing that. Why can't people face the truth? Why is it that when you go to somebody to talk to them about your problems, that you can't be truthful with them? Has the church made it hard for people to tell the truth?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible itself says that people will believe a lie quicker than they'll believe the truth.
Uh-huh.
And in the last days, it says that they'll believe a lie before they will believe the truth. Now, a person who knows the truth, for whatever reasons, knows the truth, but they say differently, that is a liar.
No, that's true.
Now, what it is now, to purposely misrepresent God is a serious offense.
Uh-huh.
Now, here a liar is defined, first and foremost, as someone who denies that Jesus is the Christ.
Uh-huh.
And that's in 1 John 2:22. When you trust in a lie, that's consistent with forgetting God. Jeremiah 13:25, and those who claim to know God, but to contradict him and to add to his words or refuse to follow or accept his commandments are also called liars. And you'll find that in John, 1 John 2:4, John 5:10, and Proverbs 30:6. For a person to be honest is a character quality as a sign of the Spirit of God's working in a person's soul. You see, one thing about God is that God cannot lie. So if you have God in your soul, you would not be a liar.
Mm-hmm.
See, because it's at work. The Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work in you.
Right.
Therefore, his presence in a person gives rise to truthfulness.
Mm-hmm.
People of God are honest people as a result of that. Now, has the church made it hard for people to tell the truth? No, the church hasn't made it hard for them to tell the truth.
Uh-oh.
Because if you have the Spirit of God in you, you are the church. But the problem is that you've got people who are in the church that are not people of God, that are of their father, the devil, who the word of God says is the father of lies. If you have the father of lies in you, then you are going to speak lies because of what is in you. That's what I'm trying to say. So this is why you got so many people that's in the church that's speaking lies, because they don't have the Spirit of God in them.
Hebrews 6:18. Now let's get down to the good part. As they should say in the world, there was a group out there that said, let's get down to the good part.
Wait. Hold it a minute. Now humankind, okay, or people in the world, they're naturally not honest. They were born into sin. They ain't never been saved. They were shaped and twisted in iniquity.
Yeah.
Psalms 116:11 will tell you that. Now, dishonest has its worldly rewards. Now, we don't want to leave it out there. It's all so somebody can be nice. Lying can bring forth financial gain. You lie on your income taxes, you can get a couple more $1,000. You want to claim 20 dependents or whatever?
20.
Get some more money.
Oh, my God.
It can get you power or temporary satisfaction. Well, let me tell you, to do that comes at a great price. It leads to more wickedness. One lie, you got to tell to cover up another lie.
Yeah, too many lies.
Then somebody discover what you did. Now you want to go try and kill them or whatever. Now, lying will fulfill your worldly desires. And it can result in the loss of everything that you have, as I just said, including a person's life. Now, if you want to keep lying, the inhabitants of hell, soon you will be joining them. In Revelation 21:8, that all lies have had their part in the lake.
So
what good is a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Now.
And all you people that's here, that's going to church, can't tell the truth.
Well, that leads me to this. Say if you have a young lady that got pregnant, whether she's young or, you know, middle-aged or whatever, and the relationship didn't go right, and then she disappeared and she went on and had the child, didn't say nothing and whatnot, but then the family of the child act like that they ain't nothing going on, and they sit up there and they lie and claim, don't want to put no claim. And I've seen this happen in the church so many times. It's a repetitive thing here. So the thing about it is that, but when the woman finally speaks out, then everybody like, well, she lied. Well, who was it that got her pregnant? But then wait a minute, let's go back. then what if a man had an affair on his wife and had two babies out of the deal and didn't want to tell the truth about it because everybody else is crazy but him, but then he can pretend that he had nothing going on? What if the man take all the money from the church and or community agency and builds him a new house, a $500,000 house with money that was given to him by the government to add towards the property? Now, what I can't understand is that but some of these ministers in the gospel, why do they lie? What does it do for them when they lie about things? They play dumb about things. Why is it that an investigator has to come and find all your stuff? Or people go and tell all your stuff because they know it's public record? Why lie about something when you can just tell the truth? Do you think that you would be judged by folks? Relatively speaking, the Bible says he that was out seeing cast the first stone. Everybody has done something that was not the truth. But is it safe to even say that you can confide in somebody about the truth? Have leaders put a constraint on people to never tell the truth but to live a lie? What do you think, District Superintendent?
Well, you know, just like I was just saying earlier, one would think that it would be easier just for them, if they did something wrong, for them just come and tell the truth, repent, ask God to forgive them, and go about their business. Seemed like that would be the easiest way.
Uh-huh.
But however, because we are people who have the sin nature in us, it is in our soul for us to lie once again, because we have subdued the righteousness of God in us and took on our fleshly nature, which sin dwells in.
Mm-hmm.
So
is it safe to say that people have not been delivered?
That is safe to say. Or they may have been delivered from something and then picked it up. See, it's one thing to be delivered from something. It's a whole different animal to stay delivered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, the Bible says that when you cast the devil out, the devil going to come back and he's going to look at that house and he's going to look in the window and say, oh, that house is clean. There ain't nothing in it. So what he's going to do, he's going to go back and bring seven more devils with him.
And they all have a party in your house.
And that's what's going on in people's spirits. They having a party in their soul. And some of them don't have seven devils. Some of them got 21 devils.
So
you got to understand that humankind or the world is naturally not honest.
But see, we're not talking about the world.
Once you get saved, if you don't have the teaching, if you're not going to Bible study, if you're not prayer, if you're not in prayer, if you're not on your knees, if you're not doing any of those things and learning to walk in holiness, you're going to fall.
Pastor, you got some moralistic good people in the world that don't lie. They tell the truth. So now, when you talk about the people in the church, we're talking about if I wanted to share an experience with somebody and somebody say, no, just chuck it up and leave it alone. But the thing about it, you're trying to get something off your chest to be able to free yourself, because we already know God will take care of you. But as believers, if there's something going on with us, why is it so hard? I was looking at this movie today that I was trying to rest my brain, and it was called The Perfect Family. And The Perfect Family, Kathleen Turner, the one that played in War of the Roses, you know, she's one of my favorite actresses. But let me just briefly talk about what she did. She was the woman, she was being selected as Woman of the Year against this other woman because she's Catholic and she does all these different things. So now she's always at the church. She's always there with the father, you know, the connoisseur, you know, and the fonsor and all the rest of the people. And she's making sure to be there at the church for everything the church needs. But check this out. when she got selected, there were rules to be qualified in order to be the Woman of the Year. And the nun, you know, you always have had a little old nun, and one of the one that came from 1800s are there. So what happened was her family was all messed up. She had a son and who was married, and him and his wife split up because he found another woman. And then she had a daughter that was a lesbian and was getting ready to marry another woman. And so her husband was an alcoholic. He's been going to AA and all them other programs. So she had to put on this front about her family. So the son comes up, he stops by, and the bishop from, you know, the Pope and the Pope's people and all that kind of stuff, you know, from out there in Rome, he was coming because they take, oh, she's perfect. But she wasn't perfect. She didn't tell the truth. So when it came to the petition at the table at the Catholic Church in the committee program meeting, that they went around to sign against homosexuals and gays adopting straight babies. And only one was honest to say, I'm not signing that. And so she was forced to sign it because she already knew her daughter had married another woman. And she wasn't happy about that. She flipped out. And so she turned around, and then the husband said, I can't live like this no more. He got his suitcase. He goes to NA. She put away his bottle. Now, in his liquor bottle, he was making a decorative ship. You know, most men have been in the military. You know, they love all those little boats and ships and tankers and all that, and, you know, and subs. So she moved the boat because she wanted the house to look holy. That's what she wanted to do. So when the bishop come and then the nun, you know, the old mother nun, and then the friendsor, they were there, and they kept asking questions about her daughter. Oh, well, she's dating. We're looking for them to propose soon. And she never showed up. So she ended up losing the baby because she could not be accepted by her mom. And her mom said, you grew up in the Catholic Church. How can you sit up and decide to want to live this lifestyle? And she sat there like, Mama, you know, that's the problem. So now she wasn't truthful. So then she also had a little something in her closet because she was young when her and her husband got married. They had the two kids, but she also had an abortion. But it was her husband that was in AA that literally told her that, no, you were bleeding so bad and hemorrhaging that they went on and gave you a hysterectomy. He said, I chose the life of the child because you were bleeding so hard to where you almost died. I didn't want to lose you. He was truthful about that, but she didn't. She went through all of that, and I did record it because I want you to see it. My thing is the truth. I saw another one. A doctor was supposed to kill a guy on the road, but the guy already had problems and died on the scene, and then his sister come back and married the man, not the one to kill him. What happened to being truthful? So now, Pastor, do you think God is going to punish us for not telling the truth?
Well, according to the word of God, it says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord.
Oh, my God.
But they that truly, but they that deal truly are in the sight.
Mm-hmm.
That's Proverbs 12:22. Mm-hmm. That's your answer right there. If you tell a lie, it's an abomination to God.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you tell the truth about what it is, but it's a delight to Him.
Mm-hmm.
You shall know the truth,
and
the truth shall make you free. That's John 8:32. When you tell a lie, you got to do something to cover that up, as I stated earlier. And then it can lead to other things that are just dishonest, and it can become worse than what it could have been.
So can we as believers not hold the church accountable and hold ourselves accountable?
Well, you are the church. You have to hold yourself accountable.
So we can't say the body of Christ is accountable, but us as individuals that are part of the body of Christ.
You're accountable to God.
We're accountable to God, and we're accountable to do what?
You're accountable to live in the truth and to tell the truth.
So let's understand. It's not the church. It might be the church people that may hold you to that, where they don't want to know the truth. But all truth, isn't it says parallel?
Yeah, all truth is parallel.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to continue this again tomorrow. Very hot
both
topic.
Both natural and spiritual.
Both natural and spiritual. I also thank my husband, District Superintendent Pastor Robert Alexander II, for joining in with me. And we're going to talk about this again. I promise you. But until then, ask the Lord to make you holy, because that's all we want to be in this current, present world. God bless.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes. Y'all remember that? Come on, EOB and BOI.
Listen, all of you all that would like to come to the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry Church of God and Christ, we are located at 850 East 75th Street at the corner of 75th and Drexel in Chicago. Sunday service started at 10 o'clock a.m., 10:30 a.m., and Sunday school at 12 noon, and weekday service on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Hope to see you there. Until then, have a blessed weekend.
Come on, lift your voice and shout, holiness.